Morning. I want to greet you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for all that He's done for us, His mercies and His goodness to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we just come before You and thank You for Your goodness again to us, Lord. Help us, Father, to be faithful to You and, Lord, to do Your will. Lord, we pray that You'd give wisdom this morning, Father, as we open Your Word. That You'd be with my mouth, Father. That You would guide our hearts and our minds towards You, Father. Lord, that we might be what You want us to be, Father. Again, we just want to thank You, praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, open your Bibles this morning to Titus chapter 2. I think we'll just read the whole chapter. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. All right, I want to, first of all, we talked a little last week and I just mentioned about the grandmothers. That's kind of where I wanted to start this morning, about how whenever I was growing up that I remember some of the old grandmas along the road that I grew up on, and how that the children feared those grandmothers because the grandmothers kept order in their homes. And I just, as one after other, another of them died, and I began to see that the grandmothers weren't grandmothers anymore. They had become some fun, loving, good time, just all about having everybody being good and just all about everybody having a good time and having fun, instead of a grandmother that tried to instill values in their grandchildren and in their children. And I just, one of the reasons whenever I was One of the reasons I left the evangelical church, it was the straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. We had been, there was something come up. They had a camp for children. And at this camp, the little girls would come and they were just wearing little mini skirts. And they just would just, they'd go down and pray and just, it was just ungodly how they would be down there in front of all the boys with just little shorts on or dresses. And we began to bring that up to some of the people. And it was the grandmothers at that time that said, "Well, what is the matter with a little girl wearing a little dress or a little short? Pair of shorts. What is the matter with that? There's nothing wrong with that." And whenever I realized that it was the grandmothers that were taken up for this sin, there was nothing at all left to work with. Nothing at all. The Bible says here that the aged women likewise, they behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. It's not the preacher's job to train your children. The responsibility for your young lady, for the young ladies, lays in the hands of mothers and grandmothers. Sometimes the preacher has to step in, or the church, or someone else has to step in and make some corrections. But it's because someone's failed. The responsibility for these young ladies here lays in you older women. It lays in you women, you mothers. You're responsible for your daughters and how they turn out. You're responsible for your grandchildren. I've noticed in my life that whenever a family has a mean mother or a mean grandmother, as they appear to their children grow up respectful. And I've also noticed that some of the nicest old grandmotherly ladies and the nicest mothers in the eyes of their children produce some of the wickedest children that there is. Our responsibility, your responsibility, is to train these children in godliness and in holiness. It takes patience. This, where we read about here in verse 1, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. Whenever we think of doctrine, are we thinking about our theology? The way I understand doctrine is the way to live. It's the way that we're to put into practice how to live. Speak those things that teach people how to live godly. Not program them so that their theology is correct, but speak those things which become sound way of living. That's the purpose of the church and the ministry and the aged men and the aged women. As we go down through this, we'll see that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. We ought to be where we're at, not... That's what sober means. Being able to see things just like they are. It doesn't mean just never smile or never laugh or smile. Soberness is being able to see things in a real way. And men should be able to look at things and analyze things and see them in a real way. Be sober. Whenever you're drunk, you see things confused. You see things different. You see things all out of order. But whenever you're sober, you see things the way they are. Grave. There's a seriousness. Gravity. Getting down to where things really are. There's a seriousness about all of this. Temperance. These are things that we need to learn. These are real things that change our lives. Sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. In patience. You know, sometimes whenever we're trying to teach children, we're trying to teach them what to do, they just keep messing up. They just can't ever quite get it right. And pretty soon we just get frustrated and go, "Will you just go sit down? I'll do it myself." That never teaches the children anything. We need to have our children at a young age where they can take care of themselves. And they can take care of whatever responsibility that they're capable of doing. The mother shouldn't be the hardest working person in the house. She should be able to delegate and guide the children to where they do the work. The mother has responsibilities. She's got things to look after. She needs to be overseeing everything. And as the children get bigger, they are responsible to take care of those things. I know there's whenever I'm working on a job and I'll be sent out somewhere and wind up having to have two or three crews doing something and working, and wind up having to be doing just the groundwork, digging a hole or putting a fence in, while there's two other crews maybe that I'm supposed to be looking after. I can't do that whenever I'm over here just taking care of one little job. The reason people have overseers is because they're overseeing the whole project to keep the whole thing running smooth. And they're able to see when, hey, they're going to need this here in a few minutes. They're not supposed to be. An overseer's not supposed to be down there doing the dirty work. He's got responsibilities, just like the mother in the home. She's to be seeing that the father's will is carried out. Not just down on her hands and knees doing all the dirty work. And whenever you're doing the dirty work for them, you're running them. You're spoiling them. You're wasting them. They're just learning that somebody else can do their work for them. They're just learning else that if I just act dumb, Mom will do it for me. If I just act like I don't know what I'm doing, Mom will wind up doing it for me. That's what you're training them. Be patient with them. It's a lot easier just to jump in and do it yourself. But be patient. You're training these children. You have to let them do it. You have to let them make some mistakes. That's how they learn. That's how we all learn. They learn if you tell them something and they don't hear that and they make a mistake, maybe next time they'll learn to listen a little better. It takes charity and patience to do those things. The aged women, that they in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach their young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The purpose for you to carry out these doctrines and instill them in your children is that the word of God be not blasphemed. Because if you're professing these things and not carrying them out, it's blaspheming God. There's a great responsibility here for you. It's about speaking and doing the things that become sound doctrine or sound practice, sound way of living. And if you're not producing those things that are producing this sound practice and this sound way of living, then it's twisting people's view of what God is. And there's enough of that going on. We need to be careful that we're not bringing these things, being the blasphemy, that they should teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That they may teach them to love their husbands. We've talked some about that, about what it means for the wife and the father to love their husband, or the wife to love her husband, and the husband to love her wife. We've got a lot of young people, and it's the responsibility of the mothers and the fathers and the older ladies to be training and instilling in the young ladies and the young men how to be responsible. This says how to love their husbands. If they're not married, what do we need to be teaching them? We need to be teaching them what it means to love your husband. You need to be an example of what it means to love your husband. And you need to be training and teaching them that way. There would be a seriousness that goes with starting a family. That's why we try to teach the young ladies how to act when they're young. That dating, as the world knows it, just, I'll date this one and I'll date that one and I'll just, that's not loving your husband. That's a whole wrong concept of just letting your heart flitter around to this one and flitter around to that one. That's not being true to your husband, even though you don't have him yet. You be true to your husband just like you would if you had one. Be true to your future husband. Don't give your heart and let it be drawn away to some fella that you think might be. You be true to him already. You keep yourself already like you're keeping yourself for your husband. There's no room for this foolishness of teasing around with each other, flirting around with the boys. That, if you had a husband, would you flirt around with the boys? You be true to him like he's your husband already, even though you don't know who he is. Would you tease around with him about, would you tease around with somebody else about who might be their boyfriend or who might be their girlfriend? No. It's a bunch of nonsense. Stay away from it. Boys see that. And they don't want a foolish girl acting like that. Any boy that's got any sense. I've told my children, I've asked them before, do you want a good husband or just one so-so, my daughter? And I've asked my boys and other children, do you want a good wife or do you want one that's just, so-so, she'll be all right. What do you want? Do you want a good one? You know how you get a good one? You be a good prospect. You be what you be as good as you want the other person to be. And whenever you just be what you need to be, somebody will notice that. You don't have to bat your eyes or flirt around with them. You be a godly young woman, and a godly young man will take notice. And a godly young man that looks at women, young girls that are flirting around, they don't want that. Some simpleton might, but that's what you're going to wind up with. You're going to spend the rest of your life if you get married with someone. Don't have it marred. Don't mar it with foolishness. You may think that's terrible mean. You may think you're getting older every day and going to be an old maid. Forget that. You just be a godly old maid. Women, you need to be teaching your children that way. You need to be teaching them to be godly women. We are not training children. We're not training children. We're training these little people to be adults. They've got the foolishness. They've got the childishness in them. We're trying to train them how to act like adults. We're trying to train them to be godly men and godly women. They're not your buddy. You're a father. You're a mother. And whenever we try to buddy up to them, there's not much more. They don't have to move much. They don't have to grow up. They don't see an example of growing up. They just see somebody that's their little pal, their fun little friend, wants to do all kinds of fun things with them. That's not your responsibility to entertain your children. Let them find a stick and a rock to entertain themselves with. It's not your job to entertain them. You're to train them. They'll find their own fun. You don't have to provide it for them. I've noticed with my children, before I saw through all of it, that we would go someplace, maybe go to a fair or something, and the children would all go laughing, and they'd come back crying. And then we'd go out and pick up rocks or pick blackberries, and they'd go grumbling, but they'd come back laughing. Every time. You go training your children that this world's a big place of fun, and they'll be miserable all of their life, because the fun isn't fun after a few times. And then they got to have something more and something more and something more to feed that fun. It isn't about that. We're training them to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. Young man I was talking to last night, really serious-minded young man. He just sees a lot of things. He just admitted to me, he said, "I see this world as a dangerous place." He said, "I just see that I believe I want to serve Christ." And I didn't mention a thing about it, but he said, "What about my skateboard?" And I said, "Well, you know," I didn't really say much. Pretty soon he asked again about his skateboard. "Would I have to give up my skateboard to be a real Christian, to be a real disciple like you're talking about, to lose my life?" And I said, "We're in a war. We're in a dangerous place. This world is Satan's territory." I said, "If you were to be dropped into the middle of Iraq and you were given a map and there was one way that you would get out of there alive, one way that you would ever get out of there alive, and that was this map that showed you very clearly what step you were supposed to take, which direction, where to go, when to go there, and that was your only hope, would you go buy a skateboard and go skating around Baghdad for 3 or 4 days before you looked at your map? Would you just go have a good time, go play around a while, if there was only one way of escape? Is that what you'd do?" I'm not going to answer the question for you. You've got to answer that yourself. Is there some little something like that? A skateboard that's going to keep you from seeking the kingdom of God? Is that even really a question? We need to let our children learn the value of what God has to offer. We need to let our children learn. We need to let our children make some mistakes. We need to let them figure some things out themselves. We need to guide them and point them the right direction, and then let them work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. That's why a lot of times when people come to me and ask something, I just give them a couple options and let them try to figure it out themselves. Some have said the motto on the church is, "This is the way, you figure it out. You figure it out." It doesn't do any good to be spoon-fed all your life, to live on milk all your life. There comes a time when you're going to have to start standing up and doing it yourself. I can't do it for you. No one else can do it for you. No one can do it for you. We need to be wise enough to have discernment to make these choices ourselves. And we need to learn to instill that in our children. These people that come up on the street and beg, these young men, kind of thinking of a little bit different direction. We've been, just if they ask, we give it to them. And that's, I don't have a problem with that. Jesus said to do it. That's why we do it. But whenever they come up, we're not helping them just by giving them the money and letting them go on. So a young man came up last night and he said that his girlfriend had just got kicked out of her house and he needed room for a hotel for her. And I just asked him, I said, okay, what are you going to do tomorrow night? What are you going to do tomorrow night? Well, you know, maybe she can go back home then. I said, why don't you just go try to make things right tonight? Well, it just won't work. Excuse. And while he was asking me this, another man came up. He just thought I was talking to this fellow, and he came up and said, can you give me money for a hotel tonight? And I said, you come up almost every weekend, don't you? Wanting money. He said, yeah. And I said, what are you going to do tomorrow night? Well, I guess I'll find some money for tomorrow night too. And I said, why is it anyone else's responsibility to give you money? Why is someone else responsible to make sure that you're going to have a motel tomorrow night? I said, you're a young man. Not a thing in the world wrong with you. You could work and be providing for yourself. And it's pretty shameful. You're just out here doing whatever you want to do, having a good time. And he said, I'm not really having a good time. I said, well, there's more to this. There's more to life than this. Just worrying about what someone's going to give you. And he said, well, okay, he went away. And the other man stood there and he said, wow, you get this a lot, don't you? And I said, yeah, there's a whole line of them waiting for the same thing. I said, there's more to life than this. There's a God that created us to serve Him. And you're all about just watching out for yourself. You are responsible for your own actions. I gave him a little bit of money. I said, I'm not going to pay the whole thing. I don't have the whole thing. But I'll give you what I got. It's not about the money. To strengthen the hands of the poor and needy, they need some support. They need told that they are responsible for themselves. I don't care to give it to them. But give them what you really have, more than just a few dollars. Give them some counsel. Give them some challenges to stand on their own feet. Give them some real direction. They may hate you for it. But give them what they really need. Money isn't going to help them. They're lost. They don't have a clue. I asked the one young boy, I said, where are your parents? And he said, they're in St. Louis. And I said, what are you doing here in Springfield? Well, I've been in a boys' home, and after I turned 18, I couldn't get government assistance anymore to be in this boys' home, so I'm out on my own. And I said, you better start making some better decisions real quick. You're in real danger of messing your whole life up. This is serious business. We need to do the same thing with our children. We need to do the same thing with your children. We need to let people work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got enough to do ourselves. Each of us are responsible for our own souls. One of the biggest things, biggest problems that I have, I don't worry too much about somebody making mistakes or maybe not doing just everything just right. That doesn't hurt churches. What hurts churches is when somebody starts pushing somebody else. That's what causes problems. Whenever someone starts pushing, instead of letting people learn and work out their own salvation, somebody starts pushing them, trying to push them into a little box here or there. That's what causes problems. Like I've said before, it's not the weak people that hurt churches. It's the strong people that think they're strong and have to go around correcting everything. We need just to learn. Whenever someone's just completely out of line, or they've done something wrong and offended you, go to them. There's a remedy for that. But you be an example. Don't force your little way on anyone else. Another big problem. There's people talking. Rumors. People talking. Saying things about other people that they don't have any business talking about. There may be people that aren't doing things the way we think they ought to be doing. But I'll guarantee you one thing's worse than that. It's that you running your mouth about them. If there's a problem, if there's things going on, you're either part of the solution, you're either the problem, or you're part of the solution, or you're adding to the problem. And the adding to the problem makes the problem grow twice as fast as what it is. You young ladies, you young men, you need to learn to keep your mouth shut. If it doesn't affect you, you let it be. The tongue is like a little fire. You know, I started a brush fire this week. I had one little flick of the bick. And it started out about that big. And within 5 minutes, there was a fire as big as this building. Half as big as this building. Your tongue can start a fire just that big. Your tongue can split churches. We might have a lot of right doctrine and a lot of right teachings and a lot of doing right. And all it takes is a couple of little misunderstandings. And if you don't just destroy one person, you could destroy a whole bunch of people. You better watch what you say. And if it ain't your business, stay out of it. Slander is the sin that keeps people out of heaven. People going around talking. Causing trouble with others. God hates that. God hates that. You think before you say anything about anybody else, would you want someone just talking about you that way? You think about your faults. You think about your faults. And you just imagine one of your friends telling another friend about your faults. Just imagine that. Imagine. Do you want them saying that about you? It might be true. But you still don't like people telling it all over, talking behind your back. Learn to guard your tongue. Be slow to speak. Quick to hear and slow to speak. I don't think young people ought to be talking on the telephone all the time. I think the only reason they ought to talk about on the telephone is to talk about what they need to be doing or some business. But just to get on the phone and gab for 15 or 20 minutes with one of your buddies somewhere is not good. It just doesn't produce anything good. It's so easy for us to be misunderstood. It's so easy. The Bible says not to be a busybody. And it's so easy for us to say something and just somebody else just misses one little thing about it and it twists just a little bit. And then they tell somebody else and it twists just a little bit more. And pretty soon, there's a big fire raging. That's one of the things that you need to be guarding your children about. Be an example to them. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Then it says, for the grace of God. Look where the grace of God has got its building ground. It says, for the grace of God. That means all that I've just got through saying builds right here. This is the building block of the grace of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation is trying to teach us all these things. And God has chosen to use men to do that. God has chosen to do men to be an example of the grace of God that would bring the salvation. That's your responsibility. You have the responsibility as a man to blaspheme God. You also have the responsibility of a man to bring the grace of God to others. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. God uses men. God uses godly men. We can have confidence in men that are living godly. Doesn't mean we're going to just throw our hands up and just follow them whatever, wherever they go or whatever they say. But God has always used men. Find godly men and you can trust them. You can trust them for guidance. Keep your eyes open. Jesus came as a man. Jesus Christ came as a man giving God's message. God's message is so much higher than just being able to put down in a book or just being able to put down. God's message can be spoken by men. One of the men last night we were talking to, he started talking about some of these different religions. And you know, you hear people, they give the argument that, well, all the religions basically have some of the same teachings. Do you know why? Because there's men all around the world that are still hearing God speak and His grace speak to their hearts, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live righteously, soberly, and godly. Wise men. They weren't maybe part of the Jewish faith, but they heard God speaking. Buddha, some of the things that he taught. Oh, you're a Buddhist. No. But when Buddha speaks some truth, I'm going to accept it. Because the grace of God is saying, that's true. It doesn't matter who said it. Some of the teachings of Hindu are good. Hear what's good and right. You don't have to follow all the... You don't have to bow down to an idol. But if there's truth there, take that truth. We follow truth. You don't mean just because we listen to some of the teachings of Muhammad that you're a Muhammadist or whatever they are. But there's some things that he said that were true. I've learned things from drunks on the street that were true. Does that mean I'm putting my trust in Him? No. But what He's offering, God uses men to speak His truth. Christ came as a man. And He overcame this world and brought deliverance from this world to us. Speak thou the things which become sound way of living, sound doctrines, sound teachings. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Add His blessings. Take these things to heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we again thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Lord, open our ears and our hearts. Lord, that we may put into practice sound doctrine, Father, that we would guard our lives, that would be faithful to You, Lord. Guard our tongues. Guard our ears, Father. Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness. Amen. Whenever I was used to, I haven't said it in a long time, but growing up, there used to be a little saying. Song, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. Be careful little mouth what you speak. Be careful little hands what you do. You can put big hands and big eyes and big ears and big mouths right there too. Be good to remember those, that little thing. Be careful. We have the opportunity to either blaspheme or bring the grace of God into this world. And it's in our hands, hands of a man, to do that thing. It's a fearful and wonderful thing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Praise the Lord.
When you're hearing man listening to the truth, whatever, the rich man wanted Abraham to brothers and not come to hell. One rose from the dead. He says, "Oh, dear Moses, you're drunk. It's revenge." He says, "Oh, but they hear one rose from the dead." And Jesus rose from the dead. But if we weren't willing to hear Moses and the prophets, we won't hear Jesus.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of deception. But the truth has nothing to fear. and nothing to be ashamed of, to learn something from a child. And truth is what we're after. And if a man has it, praise God. We have that choice. It's a choice that we make. That we're going to pursue truth with all our heart. And people can find it wherever they are. There's a lot of these right teachings in a lot of different religions. I'm not trying to mix it all together and say we're all going to the same place at all. But I can sure learn from some of Confucius's teachings even. They're wise sayings. It's a blessing to hear things from a wise man. Even though they may not have all the truth, but they're a heap bunch closer than people just following some foolish theology and living like the devil. I think we'll find on the judgment day that there's going to be a lot of people that are a lot higher than people who profess to be Christians. Christians may wind up being behind the Hindus and the Muslims. It's the truth that sets us free.
Amen. Well, I think the blessing that Kevin's talking about, Jesus, he said that Jesus was a man, he told us the truth. That he healed it with his death, his
growth. Amen.
And we can trust that man to follow us because he had to do it when he was a man. He taught us all those things when he was a man. He said,
amen.
Death standing up, rising again.
You know, over. Amen. All right. Well, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. We've got a lot of things to talk about this evening. So, Lord bless you all.